I've had an interesting week. I'll tell you something that interesting happened to me this week. I took a walk finally because the weather's getting nice, and I went to take a walk, right? And I was walking, and all of a sudden I caught myself praying. I don't know if you ever did that. I caught myself praying, "Lord, send me to Jerusalem. Lord, send me to Jerusalem. Lord, send me to Jerusalem." And I was like, I stopped in the middle of the street and I thought, "What?" I was like praying that. And I was like, "What in the world?" So I started praying, "Lord, send me to Jerusalem," because I thought, well, this is like, I don't know if you ever caught yourself praying, but that's what I did. I was just walking, trying to get some, you know, stretch my bones, and I was praying. Anyway, that was like an interesting little thing. So praise the Lord. Okay, is this in your way, Carrie? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, today is February 24th, and it's the 2007. As everybody knows by now, I keep track of God's month. And God's month is, we're in the 12th month of God. It's called Adar, and it's the sixth day. 3 days ago, the temple was built, was finished in Ezra's time, long, long time ago, before all of us were even thought about. Anyway, so everyone should know the calendar of God. Praise the Lord. Adar, this month Adar, I was looking it up. It has a lot of meanings to it. I'm just going to touch on a few. It means like glorious. It means like fire. And this is where you, this is a day where it's that you see that the book of Esther comes alive. And it has to do with light and gladness and joy. Tell me something. Could you push that screen back up to the beginning? I wanted to see something. Okay, you can go down a little bit, please. Okay. See where it says the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Isn't that nice? And that's this first word right up there that says Yahudim. Yahudim is where the Jews. Hayata ora, the simcha. We had light and joy. Simcha is like joy and gladness. It says vesason yikra. So, and that's, and it's really nice because sason is like, you know, joy, and it's like honor. Simcha is joy, simcha. I think there's some people online called simcha, but it's joy. And in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment had commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And, you know, this word feast right here isn't a feast of the Lord, but it's more of a banquet. Because see this word right here, it says mischa v'sason it says la Yahudim mishte. See that word right there? I don't know if you can see this word right here, mishte. That means this is the word feast here, and it's more of a banquet, more of like just a being happy because some God did a happy event. In, especially, he stopped the genocide, of course, when you read the book of Esther, and God stopped the annihilation of the Jews. They were trying to actually wipe everyone out. And it says, many people of the land, and this is what we're trying to get everyone to understand. See what it says, many of the people of the land became Yahudim, they became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Amen. Amen. Esther 9:22, it says, as the days wherein the Jews rested, and from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them. This month, and I hope in your life you recognize this, I hope if you have any sorrow or you had sorrow, yes, I hope the Lord turns it into joy from mourning to a good day, mm-hmm. that they should make them days of feasting and joy. And if people should know that there might have been sorrow shortly ago, but the Lord's going to bring joy. Because this is a very exciting month. And that's what that says in Hebrew. And we're going to try to do this again, sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. This is what they did. And this is also a very happy thing that took place in Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar. And that, of course, was 3 days ago because we're in the sixth day right now. Of course, building God's house is obviously joyful. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to really stress, I believe God, this month is a day of gladness and feasting and a good day. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, and the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, praise the Lord, Amen. That the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Yes. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. And on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. And therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar, a day of gladness and feasting, a good day, and sending portions one to another. And the way this really comes alive, we've experienced just going to a lot of going around a lot of Jews on this day. It's a day of really, everyone's happy, and it's like a very, you know, you get to feel what it's all about. They made it a day of feasting and a good day, sending portions one to another to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. And this year, of course, it corresponds to March 4th, which is Sunday, and the 5th, Monday. So if you have your calendar, that those 2 days, we want to be happy. And if we could get together, I mean, that would be great. You know, we could sing songs, praise the Lord. We can go visit other people in town here, and maybe we can get a little taste of what other Jews are doing. This is the Hebrew word in this book, you know, the book of Purim, we have Esther, right? We have the word that means star. But when there's a thing in Hebrew, it's called when you parse the word down to the root. There's a root to every Hebrew word, which has three consonants. The word is satar, and it means hidden. And the words God and Lord do not appear in this book, so they're hidden. But when I took a closer look of the word Adar, the word Adar this month, the Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, is hidden, has no sound. You ever notice that?
That's weird.
Hebrew, Aleph has no sound. And the word dar means to dwell, means to live in Hebrew. So this invisible God, I get the feeling, wants to live in us, dwell in us, and be with us.
Like it is in that book.
Yes, just like in that book, right. That's exactly right. That's what this month is all about. So this right here, you can read a little slower later, but if you see what I'm talking about, the word, if you put that Aleph, everybody knows what Aleph is? This little letter right here is an Aleph, and that's Dar. So you have Adar, which is we're in the month of Adar, and it's just like that. God is hidden in the book of Esther. His name doesn't appear there. It's one of the only books in the Bible. It might be another book, but this book definitely, the word God doesn't show up or the word Lord. But we know they fasted. We know that Esther fasted to God, of course, and God moved. Anyway, I just thought I'd put that in there. So, but I was thinking about the word Adar, and, you know, God wants to dwell with you and be with you, and this whole month is supposed to be a month of joy. God's going to take whatever sorrow and sadness you have, and he's going to, no matter, the devil's going to try to stop it, but he's going to try to turn it to joy and happiness. And, you know, the Parsha, which means portion, we read this last night in Shemot. I should have put Exodus there, I'm sorry. But the word Shemot means Exodus, or means names. The portion we read last night was, it's called truma, okay? Truma, it's like a resh, really guttural. And what that means is, it means a contribution, an offering, a heave offering. It says an offering to God, an offering of grain, money, contributions. And it's a time when, this is what this portion we read last night was about. They gave a portion. Exodus 25, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me, God wants an offering of every man that, and this is really important, that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take an offering. Isn't that nice? In other words, don't just throw grudgingly. God wants it willingly. You want to do it to God. The Lord, and when I was reading chapter 25, which was the Torah portion, I kept thinking of this verse. The Lord wants to dwell among you, he wants to dwell in you, and he wants to walk in you. That's amazing to think about. Amen. Exodus 25 says, God says, let them make me, this is God talking, make me a sanctuary, a mikdash, a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now, when I read this sentence right here, just the thought of that, I don't know if you could really grasp what, if God said, make me a place where I'm going to dwell among you. I mean, that would be, I would be like, I'd probably faint, you know. According to all that I show thee after the pattern, God's always doing, everything he does is always after this pattern of the tabernacle, on the pattern of all. You know, last night we read all the instruments, and sometimes some people get a little, I don't know if they get bored with it, but every one of those instruments has a spiritual ramification, but it's all that's pattern of things in heaven.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern of all, so all those instruments were made after a pattern. It says, even so shall you make it. So it wasn't like they just made things to the tabernacle just of their own minds, or it was something that was from God. Very, very nice. God directs everything. We found out God last night was a God of detail. God loves detail. He loves being explicit. He just don't go do anything. And there it says, and there, listen to this, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. Now we're talking about the God of the whole universe that made the universe. Imagine him saying that to you for real. I don't know if you, see, like a lot of people speed read that, but I have to stop there, and my mind goes, The God who created the whole universe wants to meet with me and commune with me or you for real? I mean, I don't, that's amazing. From above, it says, he wants to do it from above the mercy seat and from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony and on all the things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So God has these commandments for them. Yes. But we see also Apostle Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Of course, he's telling us this on a constant basis. We're supposed to do this during the week. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? And what concord had Christ, Messiah, with Belial, a false god? Or what part had he that dwelleth with an infidel? Believeth with an infidel. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? Now, this is really important. For ye are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell with them. That's what he said. We just read that in Exodus chapter 25. As God had said, I will dwell with them. And I will walk, but now he even amplifies it. I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because we're the temple now. See the difference? When they were building the tabernacle and the temple there, he went among them, but now it's even, he's not only among us, he wants to be in us, because we're the temple. See the, it's like sort of amplified. Well, I just forgot that verse, hold on. It says, and I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can't think of anything better than that. Can't get any higher than that. I'm just one of the people of God. That's the highest title you can get. I'm a person of God. Revelations, John says, I saw new heavens, a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. In other words, it's not renewed, it's new. Okay, the other ones are passed away. And there was no more sea. You know, God never calls them oceans, he calls them a sea. We made up the word ocean. But anyway, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard, this is New Jerusalem coming down, prepared as a bride for a husband. Isn't that amazing? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And again, we have this this Adar, this invisible God, but he's not going to be invisible at this point, but he's going to dwell with us. He says he will dwell with them. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself, whatever that, God himself, that must mean something more than I could imagine. God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, wow. You know, this teruma, what we were reading, this offering, in the Bible, the olot, that's plural for offerings. And we have olah is a burnt offering. I just wanted to show you the different words in Hebrew. We have a mincha is a meat offering, unused root. And you could read the rest of this later, but it's usually bloodless. It's usually something to do with grain or tribute or gift. It could be even money, that kind of thing. That's what a mincha is. So I wanted to show you different kind of offerings. There's a tanufa, which is a wave offering. Okay, we have a nefek, which is a drink offering. Teruma, which we're reading about on the Torah portion, that's a heave offering, which is grain or something. We have a chatat, which is a sin offering. That's unique, because that you need the blood. We have a terumat, prumat is another offering. We have a nadava, nadava is a free will offering. And of course, there's a shlomim, which is a peace offering, like shalom. Shlomim is a peace offering, a thank offering. There's a isha, which is an offering by fire. Ash in Hebrew, ash is fire. So this is isha. And then we have a chafer, or chifer, or chufar. These three words all mean atonement. And a zavak. These are all sacrifices. But there's the English right there. I just want to let you know, there's all kinds of offerings in the Bible, all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. Now, everything's done by a pattern, and that's tavanit, and that's in Exodus 25. According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So everything that we're talking about is a pattern, and God is going to, I guess, when New Jerusalem comes down, that's another, we're going to find out what God really is all about. And look, that it says, and look thou, that thou make them after their pattern, which was show thee in the mount. It's very important. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, show thee in the mount. And what this shows me is, God also has given us explicit things to do in our life. He wants us to follow them explicitly. But most of the world went to the right hand and to the left. We're trying to go straight. Yeshar, straight. Not shlomim or yamim. We want to go straight. Hebrews 9:23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Of course, the better sacrifice is the blood of the Messiah, of course. Numbers 8:4, it says, and this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold. I just wanted to show you that the word pattern is in a lot of places. Unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the menorah, the menorah. In other words, a candlestick, even that was like God told him. That's why when I tell people all the time, don't make a 8 or 9 candlestick menorah, because this is made after a pattern that God prescribed. Doesn't that seem important? I mean, if you start making a different kind, God didn't say that. Joshua 22:28, therefore said we that it shall be when they should say so to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifice, but it is a witness between us and you. So there again, there's a reference in Yehoshua, Joshua, that everything's done according to a pattern, okay? Even in the kings, King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, the fashion of the altar. There's a certain way that it was made. It was a pattern. And the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. That, what I'm trying to get at is showing you this, that even in our lives, there's a certain way that we should be walking, a certain lifestyle we should be living, a certain way we should be conducting our personalities, characters, and God has, it's all in the Bible. You know, this tells you what to do. 1 Chronicles 28:11, David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch. In other words, Solomon just couldn't go make his own style porch, you know. Okay, and then the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, You hear that? See that verse right there? The pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated things. Praise the Lord. So everything is a pattern. And this is a, this couple, one more verse here. You see again, there's the gold for the pattern of the chariots of the cherubims. It says, and even all the work of this pattern. Everything that was done, what I'm trying to get at with these verses, everything was done by a pattern. No one was just left to do, you know, I would call it slipshod or your own inventions of how to do things for God. Everything, God wants things His way. And it's very important. Praise the Lord. And it says, thou son of man, I always read this. A lot of, this is talking about the temple. It says, show the house of Israel that they should be ashamed of their iniquities and let them measure the pattern. In other words, they did it wrong. Go measure the pattern about the temple. Anyway, so some patterns, examples, shadows, are in future tense after the resurrection of the Messiah. We have right here in Colossians 2:17, Apostle Paul saying, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Messiah Christ. So this is after the resurrection, obviously, because Colossians is after when the Lord died. Everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. So there's also shadows of things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the law having a shadow of good things to come. That's very important. It says, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Of course not. That's talking about, of course, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that the priest had to offer up sacrifices for himself and then for the people. And then, you know, he couldn't continue his whole, you know, forever because he dies. He's just a man. Plus, he had to confess his own sins, so it's never perfect. But this man, Yeshua, Jesus, once did it. We're going to read. There's one sacrifice for sins forever. Amen. Does everybody hear that? No more daily sacrifices needed. I know a lot of people were asking me about this light last night on Pal Talk, so I thought I'd put this down. Hebrews 7:27, who need it not daily. Christ, Messiah, does not need to do this daily as those high priests, those earthly priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this the Messiah did once when he offered up himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of bulls and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise the Lord. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, and it's in God's mind, yeah, it's the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know, I mean, just the thought of that, that's beyond my thoughts again, that God, that created the whole universe, would allow his word become a piece of flesh, that it could die for us. That is unbelievable. Supernatural, beyond belief. So Messiah, Christ, was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, you have to be looking for him, shall he appear the second time unto without sin unto salvation. Yes, he's going to be looking for the ones that are without sin, and they will obtain salvation. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, once for all. The reason why I'd like to bring these scriptures up too, there's some messianic congregations going around right now in the country and around the world. They're trying to tell people that we're going to be doing sacrifices again in the future. That's ridiculous. We don't need to do sacrifices in the future. You know, everybody, a lot of messianics and church people are throwing money to Israel to go build this third temple. We don't need a third temple. We're the temple. God wants to walk in us. He wants to be in us. That's really important. So if you thought about that on a daily basis, you'd probably be a lot more holier. If you're the temple, God really wants to be in me? You know, wow. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, Yeshua, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever.
Right.
Does everybody see that?
Right.
He sat down on the right hand of God. That's going to be supernatural to see, because that's the Word of God became flesh, became a man, but then that body became a spiritual body. The Word became a spiritual body, which is able to actually stand or sit at the Father's right hand.
Wow.
That's going to be beyond us, because there's only one God. I mean, I don't know if that one, that's over your mind or over. I'm telling you that, but it's almost like the words that I'm speaking can become flesh and stand right next to me. But we're still the same, you know, we're still one. But what do you do? You know, supernatural. That's why it's hard to explain things when we're in the flesh. It's hard to explain things when we're in this body, this tabernacle. We're, you know, this tabernacle that God wants to be in, this tabernacle we're going to shed one day, and one of these days we'll have incorruptible bodies. Could you imagine that? Incorruptible body? Can you? Okay. For Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once. He's not going to come back and die again. He died unto sin once. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ, Messiah, also had loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice. Think of that. He's a olah and a zavak. He's a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, you have to think about this. Would, for a bunch of people, sinners and, let's say, drug addicts and whatever sin you could think of, would you go become a sacrifice for them and an offering?
No.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't be... But because he can see the future, he could see it was worth it all. He knows exactly who's going to accept him. I mean, he could probably looks out into eternity and sees everyone that's ever going to be born, ever lived, who's going to accept him. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:18, but I have all. Apostle Paul, he says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's what the Messiah was. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well-pleased. So make sure when you're doing good and you're communicating, this is a sacrifice. Your flesh might not even like the person you talk to, but in the spirit you better like them, because they have a soul. And it's a sacrifice. Some of those people might be your relatives. But it is a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones, that's what we are built up a spiritual house. We're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You're a priest. Did you know that? You're supposed to be a priest. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is... And it's just, that's just your reasonable service. In other words, God wants your all. Levites, we don't leave, you know, I know there's a thing in the world now, they say they found the Levites, the genetics for the Levites. No such thing. We don't even need that anymore. Levites were just a shadow of the Messiah's priesthood. Exodus 40:13, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. You can't just, back then, you couldn't just be a regular Jew. You had to be of the tribe of Levi, a son of Aaron, to be a high priest. And then a son of Aaron, this to be a priest. You couldn't be of the tribe of, you know, Issachar or Naphtali. So that was very, very, it's a very distinct tribe you had to be from. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. And of course, the Levites, their generations obviously have ended.
Yeah.
Because there's no more Levites. Okay? Numbers 25:10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, we have Pinchas, or Phinehas in English, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. He was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Yes, God hates when you go after another god or you forsake him. He really hates that. And God does get jealous. You don't want to get into God's jealousy. I mean, that's a scary thing. Wherefore say, behold, I will give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So this priesthood is now, we see there's a new priesthood, which we're talking about, and there's other priesthoods. It's a lot of things, verses that pertain to this. Hebrews 7:1, we have Melchizedek, which means my king is righteous, or Melchizedek, as everyone knows him. He's the king of Shalom, Salem. He's the priest, the Kohen, of the Most High God, who met Avraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth, part of all. First, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace, king of Shalom. Now, this priest right here, which is a shadow of Messiah, Melchizedek, obviously, he doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a mother. He don't even have a descent. He doesn't have any, what? He doesn't have neither beginning of days nor end of life. But this shadow of the Messiah was made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. And that's, of course, in the Psalms, the Messiah is going to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, or Melchizedek. Now consider how great this man was. I mean, unto whom even the patriarch, I mean, Abraham is one of the great men of God. Even Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils. That's pretty deep. That's amazing scripture. Without father, without mother, without descent. But he was the king of Salem. He showed up, a shadow of the Messiah, a shadow of the future priesthood, a shadow. And it's like, wow. Abraham acknowledged it immediately and gave him the tenth of everything. And verily, that they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Of course. Of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted for them received tithes of Abraham. In other words, the Levites, the priest came from Levi, right? Melchizedek didn't come from Levi. So this guy, but he received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better, of course. And here men die, receive tithes. But there it says, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. In other words, this Melchizedek who received tithes, he's the shadow of the Messiah. Messiah is never going to die. He ever liveth. And wait, go back. And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes, pay tithes in Abraham. Isn't that amazing? And here's the reason why. Next verse. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That is wow. That's a big time. If therefore perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, here's where a lot of people get mixed up. I want to read this slow. If perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. This is when the word law is described a little differently. This is talking about the Levitical priesthood. What further need was there of another priesthood? Should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron. Of course, this was all prearranged by God, probably before the world began. For the priesthood, here everybody, I want everyone to hear this. We don't need Levites anymore on Pal Talk. We don't need to find the Levite genes and the Levite genetics. The priesthood being changed, there is necessity, a change also of the Torah. There is no more sacrifices. There is no more temple. There is no more priest. There's no more high priest. This is a change. For he of whom these things were spoken pertained to another tribe. Of course. Of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Does everybody understand this? For it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. This Melchizedek, the shadow of the Messiah, he comes from Judah, who is your high priest. He didn't come from Levi. Okay? You know why he came from Judah? Here's why. Because he's not only your high priest, he's also, Judah is where all the kings came from. He's your king and priest. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident that after the similitude, the image, the pattern of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. This is the Messiah. In other words, Melchizedek was just a pattern. Does everybody understand that? Of the Messiah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, and there's going to be another priest. This is talking about Messiah, who is made, this is the Messiah, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever, after the pattern, the order, the fashion of Melchizedek. Everything God does is for a pattern. It's a fashion. It's an image. There it is in Psalms, what I was saying before, 110 verse 4. The Lord swore and will not repent. We don't need Levites anymore. He's going to be a priest after the order of who? Melchizedek, Melchizedek, yes, which is not made after a carnal commandment. We're talking about endless life. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 7:18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. What that basically means is this weakness and unprofitableness, basically, you can't put your trust in any priest because they sin too, and they have to repent too, and then they have to offer a sacrifice for themselves, and then for the people, and then for the temple, and they have to, I mean, you know, but the law made nothing perfect. That's what that's talking about right there. That law, the Levitical priesthood, not that there was fault with the law, it was with the people. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's just that we're just made out of dust, and we have to always... I mean, how many times do you repent a week? I repent a lot. I repent every day. Just, you know, I repent right now. Lord, forgive me. So you think? So obviously, God's priest is going to be a person that's sinless. He doesn't have to offer... He offered himself once, forever. He doesn't have to come back and do it again. And insomuch as... not without an oath, he was made priest. See, the Levites, there was no oath that they were made. There was no oath that instituted their priesthood. It says, for those priests were made without an oath. But this, in other words, the Messiah, with an oath, by him that said unto him in the book of Psalms, that was the oath in Psalm 110. It says, and the Lord's not going to repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This oath means it was declared in the book of Psalms that my king, my priest, is going to be after the order of Melchizedek. My king is righteous, Melchizedek. Amen. Does everybody understand that? By so much more was Yeshua, Jesus, made of a surety of a better testament. For they... truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There was a lot of priests, I mean, in the Levites, and they would die and then their sons would take over and they'd have to get anointed and they have to repent and learn the whole priesthood. But it says, But they couldn't continue forever. They died. But this man, the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, he continued ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Wherefore, he is able, check this out, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, whatever you think is the most rotten, filthiest sinner out there, he's able to save to the uttermost. He could wash away all sins, any sin, if you come unto him and repent. That's the key. For it says, for such, that word right there, for such a high priest became us. In other words, he became for us, who is holy. He's harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, is made higher than the heavens. Praise the Lord. Who needed not daily, as those Levitical priesthood guys, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, did once. Just think, God offered up himself. Praise the Lord. In other words, what if there was no such thing as the sinless person who was God that died and rose from the dead, we'd all be lost.
Right.
We would be just totally lost. Boy, that would be horrible. I wouldn't even want to be born. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, of course. But the word of the oath, which is in the book of Psalms, chapter 110, which was since the law, in other words, Psalms came after the Levitical priesthood, which was in the book of Leviticus, which was since the law, maketh the Son, the Messiah, who's consecrated forevermore. Does everybody understand that? Praise the Lord. We are priests. You're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. You over there are a priest. And Yeshua is the high priest. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua, the Messiah. So we pray through the Messiah. We pray right to the Father. We say, Father God, in the name of your Son.
Right.
It says, but you are a chosen generation. I mean, you're chosen. Do you ever think of that? You ever think of that? I mean, really? I mean, not only are you chosen, look, the one who chose you. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, a royal priesthood. We're royalty priesthood. Don't ever make the devil tries to beat your brains in all week saying, you're nothing, you're useless, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're just, no, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, you're peculiar. That word peculiar doesn't mean what you think. It means a jewel to God. It's like jewelry, you know, you're a gem, like in his crown, he says. A holy nation that you should, and we're supposed to do this every day. Show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness. Anne, come out of darkness. Abigail, come out. Paul, you know, God called us out of darkness.
Amen.
Into his marvelous light. Some people hear the calling of God and they go, no, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I can't right now. I got to go. But God calls you. He knocks at the door of your heart in your lifetime. Everybody in this earth is going to make a decision. No one's getting out of here without making a decision. You might think, well, what about the guy in the deepest, darkest Africa? God can go right into their brains and make them make a decision. Or what about the one that can't see and can't talk? God can go right inside their... we're talking about God. Everyone's going to make a decision. You're either going to accept him or reject him. This way, God is so righteous. He's going to make sure that happens. You know why? Because you're never going to be ever to say, God, well, God, you know, you didn't check me out. No, you accepted or rejected.
Yep.
That's what it all boils down to. You either accepted or rejected. Did you do it? Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, take unto you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render. Listen to what Hosea is saying. The calves. A calf is a sacrifice. In other words, spiritual sacrifices of our lips. Does everybody see that? It's the same thing. Calves are meant here as a spiritual sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, what, once a day?
Always,
continually. That it says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for another breath to praise you. Thank you for praise you. You know, thank you for this. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Revelations 1:6. And God, and if you don't get the message, God made you kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelations 5:10, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Yeah, that's the new one, the new earth, whatever that means. I get that all mixed up sometimes with we're going to heaven, but yet we're going to end up on the new heavens and new earth. And then there's the new Jerusalem coming down on the new heavens and the new earth. That's so spiritual. I don't think anybody really knows what that, I mean, that's like beyond me. Everyone else can go say they understand it all. I can't wait to see it.
Huh?
I want to be there. Revelations 26, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, on such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of the Messiah, Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. And again, we are the temple of God, in case you forgot. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not? Did you not know this? That you are really the temple of God, and the Spirit of God wants to dwell in you? Do you ever think of that? I mean, that's a hard... Think about all week long when the devil's trying to pound your brains in. No, you're the temple of God. God wants to dwell in you. Please dwell in us. Please. Could you imagine that? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. There's people nowadays stuffing all kinds of stuff into the temple. I mean, you know, I don't know. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Did you know you're holy? That's a scary thing, because, you know, you think sometimes, I'm supposed to be holy. I'm supposed to be a temple. God is not following me. He's in me. Oh, boy. I better think the right thoughts, say the right thing. I better act the right way. I'm the light of the world. The devil will try to get you out of the spirit, get you, you know, upset, mad, try to even get you to curse, you know, try to get you to say all kind of weird. You got to be really careful. The devil is like right there. He just can't wait to trick you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Holy Ghost is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means we're all walking around little temples of God, but we're all together built up one big temple to the Lord. And he's the chief cornerstone. Every building has a cornerstone, which you have of God, and you are not... Did you know you're not your own? You're not your own. You know, like a lot of people today go, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No, you're not. If you're in the... You're not your own. You're supposed to be God. You're supposed to be the temple. You're supposed to be yielding your body a living sacrifice. No, I know people don't like to hear that because it's terrible. 2 Corinthians 6:14b, I read this already, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Please don't... That means don't go hang out with them and be their buddies and go to... You're not supposed to be doing that, okay? What fellowship has... righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? What concord had the Messiah, Christ, with Belial? What part had he that believeth with an infidel? I said this already. Praise the Lord. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you, I hope this point is cross, bringing this across today, you are the temple of God. You know, when you look in the mirror, you should be looking in the mirror and say, I'm the temple of God. You know, like, how am I dressed? How do I look? How do I appear? I mean, I'm supposed to be the light of the world, you know? As God said, and he said this, and we read in the Torah portion last night, God wants to dwell in you. Could you imagine that? If I was God, I wouldn't want to dwell in you. But God wants to dwell in you. Psh, That's beyond belief. I mean, we're talking about the God who created the whole universe that's out here somewhere. He wants to dwell in you. And he wants not only that, he wants to walk in you. Could you imagine that? In other words, you're making sure every time you do something that it's of God, you know. What am I doing? And he says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Whew. Wherefore, come out from among them. Get away from all these false churches. Get away from all these false philosophies. All these religions that they don't even keep the commandments. Or Judaism that don't even have God. Judaism doesn't have God. The Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have God. Stay away from Islam. Get away from Buddha, Shmuzuda. What I'm trying to say is, come out from among them and be separate. I know that the flesh don't like that because the flesh wants to be the life of the party. But sometimes you got to be separate, and you walk alone like the Messiah. That's the way it is. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Oh, you're not supposed to touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you shall be and I will be your father. I'll be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty, El Shaddai. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's shalom. But wait a minute. There's three more verses. Hold on. I couldn't leave these out. I had to put this down. Put that little smiley thing back again. I want everyone to see that. I was almost finished right there, but then I thought, wait, another verse popped into my mind. And it's Jeremiah 3:16. It shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more. They're not going to say this anymore. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Really? You know, people today are trying to look for the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah says, they're going to say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind. That doesn't come in my mind. You ever get in your mind to go look for the Ark of the Covenant? I'm not. It says, neither shall they remember it. Matter of fact, I don't even know where the Ark of the Covenant went. I know the man is not there anyway, right? I think they found it one time with the Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the law. It says, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. Of course not. God wants to be in us. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jerusalem, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, and the name, it says, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. Those two, the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, are going to get together, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers. Now, really, Shabbat Shalom. We're going to end here. Everywhere I read, God says to go to the land, be in the land. What are you doing out of the land? Inherit the land. But that's another whole study. I'm constantly hit with that. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. We're going to stop here. I hope you understand that, this sacrifice, this offering, this month of Adar, this Aleph that is no sound, hidden. But then dar, which means to live, God wants to dwell in you, live in you. And it's not only he wants to do that, but he wants to take the sorrow and turn it to joy, you know, which is in the month of Adar, the 12th month, which is in the book of Esther. And God does that. I could see it happening to people I know. God's taking the sorrow and the miseries, and all of a sudden there's joy. They don't even know how they got there. So praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here. Praise the Lord. And if anyone has any questions or comments, we'll open the room. And we'll stop. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody want to say anything? Anybody? You can stop the recording. Praise the Lord. Anybody have any questions? Any comments?